Alright, we are in the book of Hebrews, and we are on chapter 5. We got down to verse 8, but we're going to back up a little bit and review. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For he himself is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. So, in other words, what he's saying is, a high priest was not sinless itself. A high priest, a normal human high priest, has had sin problems too. He was only set aside to do a job, but he still, for the people and also for himself, to offer for sin. Because when he made that offering in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, he made it for himself and the people. He just didn't make it for the people, he made it for himself. But now what's he fixing to tell us though? Christ didn't need that. Christ didn't come to die for himself. He came to die for us. And by reason hereof, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. So in other words, he was the son of God. He was a high priest, but he was not a high priest like we're high priest. So what happened is Paul's telling us, in the Old Testament you had the high priest. He was the only one. I mean, Christ wasn't on earth. God wasn't here. He was above the people. But the high priest that was on the earth was doing the work, but that high priest needed a sacrifice also. So God sent his son to sacrifice, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now remember, in the Old Testament, it was called the Aaronic or Aaron priesthood, which you had Levites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then that ended with Christ. But now remember, it was the order of Melchizedek. We are under the order of Melchizedek, but Melchizedek's not our priest. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Okay, Melchizedek was a form God took. A form God took in the Old Testament, but that's not our brother. That's not our Savior. What was inside that man was our Savior, but Melchizedek, the flesh man that talked to Abraham, was a created body, flesh body. Then when God was finished talking to Abraham, when he went into another dimension, it would be fun to watch. That when Melchizedek, when God Almighty steps in, you know, it's a faster dimension, so when he stepped in that faster dimension, you just saw a little dust flutter down to the ground. I mean, really, that was his body. Brother Brown said he just took 16 elements of earth, put it over his theophany, but when he went back into that, see, he couldn't take it with him. The only time he could take flesh, that's why Christ is our high priest, he took his flesh into another dimension. Right? He took his flesh into another dimension. He got a body change and took that flesh into another dimension. Melchizedek did not. He had to come back as Jesus Christ, because Melchizedek wasn't a son. The flesh Melchizedek was not a son. He was a created being.
Did that body look like Jesus?
Absolutely. But it looked like a 20-year-old Jesus, not Jesus you see on the wall over there. Theophany never was. Listen, God never was old. Never looked old. So Melchizedek didn't look old. Melchizedek was a young guy, about 20 years old, walked up to Abraham. Because listen, think about this. Here's Abraham, 99 years old. Right? Abraham's 99 years old. Getting along in life there, you know. Kind of like all of us. And then he meets Melchizedek that's going to give him a body change, and Melchizedek looks older than him. You can't have that. No, a youthful Melchizedek says, about the time of life, you're going to have a child, and your body's going to... He didn't say that in the Bible, but that's what happened. His body was changed back. To what? A young man. 20-year-old young person. So, yes, Melchizedek was a young man, and Jesus Christ only grew older in his human body because he was in this world. All right, he wasn't born in sin, but he was born in a sinful world. So he was 30, which he looked 50 because of his... Well, even look at Brother Branham. He died at 56 years old. I'm 59. He looked older than me when he was 56. If you look at the pictures of his hand, it's like a wrinkled old 70-year-old man. Why? Because of the office that he carried.
That's right.
All right. But we'll never see that again because he's already standing in that condition now where he's already changed back. So as Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order. Now, not Melchizedek, the order of Melchizedek. Alright? Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Because remember, Christ did not overcome at the cross.
Right.
Mm-mm, no. That was the act afterwards. The prophet of God said he overcame in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
You got to have a Gethsemane experience before you can have a crucifixion experience. So, and the Garden of Gethsemane is where he fought it out and won the battle. The overcoming was done when he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, I'm going to what I need to do, and I'm very willing to do it. All right? Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. Now look, Christ didn't, inside man didn't need to be made perfect. You see this man here? But this man, when this man come into human flesh, that body had to be perfected. It was, like we said, he looked 50 years old. But when he come out of that tomb on Easter morning, he didn't look like he did. It's obvious he didn't look like he did. Mary Magdalene didn't know who he was. The disciples had a problem with him because they didn't know him when he was 20 years old. So they was having a problem with this guy that says, but remember when she heard the voice, his voice never changed. When she heard the voice, when he said Mary, she said Rabboni or Master. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Yes, we know who that is, that's Christ. But he was the author of eternal salvation. Now, if he's the author of eternal salvation, there has to be a recipient, somebody to read the book. He's the author and finisher of our faith. All right? And like we've been saying, he's the author of eternal salvation. But once you receive salvation, once you receive the new birth, I was talking to a guy yesterday, a beekeeper friend of mine, and he's more maybe Church of God or maybe a little Pentecostal, but he has a problem with the once saved, always saved. So he and I got into a pretty good discussion, you know. And he said, talking about being different, of being born again and being saved. He said, there's definitely a difference. I said, yeah, there is a difference. But we were talking about, if you take this, yes, once saved, always saved. Eternal salvation. All right? If you receive the new birth into your soul, you are eternal as God is. That's what we were missing. We're not getting that part fully. Is that we're already an eternal person.
Yeah.
Alright? We're going to talk a little about that this afternoon because Brother Brown talks about omnipotence. You ever look the word omnipotence up? Omnipotence means all powerful. And Brother Brown says when two omnipotents meet, which is us and him. So we'll talk about that. But look, being made perfect made us perfect. Alright? Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. All right. Now, he wasn't Melchizedek anymore because, remember, Melchizedek went away. Jesus Christ came on the scene. There's no more Melchizedek. All right. But in the order that it came, it was in the order of Melchizedek. All right. And you look at this title, and I was trying to think of a way to say this, but really Melchizedek doesn't have anything to do with us. In that form, he did because he had to go to Abraham because he couldn't be born of a virgin at that moment. So he was a messenger. He was one that brought a message to Abraham. Now, we know that Melchizedek had to meet Abraham to change his body. But Melchizedek, the flesh order, the flesh part of Melchizedek, as we were talking about before, when it got in, went back into that faster dimension, it just dropped the elements back down on the earth and it became earth again. There was no flesh went into another dimension with Melchizedek. But with Jesus Christ being the author and finisher of our faith, he took his flesh into a faster dimension, showing that we can be glorified on this side and carry it somewhere else with us.
Yeah.
All right? But called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. There's a lot of people, there's a doctrine in the denominations that Melchizedek was just a priesthood. It wasn't a person. It's a Melchizedek priesthood, which is, so they take that in the, I think it's in the Mormons or somewhere, they take that Melchizedek priesthood as their preachers. I don't want to be that. Because that man wasn't my Savior.
Right.
Mm-mm. That man didn't save my soul. Okay? That name person, that order of Melchizedek, now it brought us to, because it had to come through Abraham. Abraham was faithful. You had to have faith. Abraham had to have faith that man Melchizedek was something different, because he said, my Lord, capital. Alright? Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing, because there probably was contention back then, as there is now, of is this a real person? Or is this just an order? Is it just a bunch of priests? No, he was a man. Okay? The Bible says the man Melchizedek. Now, I think we'll get into it in Hebrews 6. And he doesn't leave this. Paul doesn't leave this. He continues on with this Melchizedek priesthood. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles, or what is that oracles? It is sayings or teachings of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So what's Paul saying? He said, you're up here worried about if it was a man or worried about if it was a priesthood. That man's already disappeared. That man's gone. That order of Melchizedek comes back into the Old Testament. I want Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. Melchizedek did not. Yeah. That order, you understand that position that Christ took. Now we know what was inside of him did, because it's not going to change. It's the very same person all the way down. That's why Jesus stood one day and said, before Abraham was, I am. Okay? He was before Abraham. What? The inside person. Not the flesh Melchizedek. No. Not that person. No. Oh, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful. Nothing wrong with milk. Partakers of milk. For everyone that are partakers of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Alright? For he is a babe. But strong meat. See what that word strong means. Solid food.
That's right.
Belongs to them that are of full age or of maturity. Mature. Alright? Strong meat belongs to them that are mature. Even those who by reason of use, look, by reason of use, yeah, it's like Luis is saying, we need to practice, we need to come to church,
yes.
We need to read our Bible, we need to pray, do the things of God. Have their senses exercised. That's what you do every day. See that word trained? To discern both good and evil. So that's why you have to start out with milk, which is fine. But Paul's telling you, if you just use milk, you're unskillful. You're a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are mature age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The only way you're going to discern good and evil is what? Let me get this off here. You'll be skillful in the Word, because take a baby and give them 10th grade algebra or 12th grade algebra and give it to a 6-year-old child. Well, they're just going to sit there and stare at the page.
Right.
Right? They're going to just look at the page. There's numbers there.
Yeah.
And they've got a brain and they're human. They're going to they're going to sit there and they're going to look at it. But give that person some time or some training or some teaching. And then, like Deanna now, I mean, she's doing a couple of grades ahead in math. Well, she, you know why? Because she keeps practicing. She likes it. She practices. She keeps practicing her math. She practices math all the time. She'll sit there one day and you'll see this whole list of problems that she's done. You know, she'll say, here, give me some problems today. So why? She's exercising. She's exercising what? Her human brain, which we should exercise our spirit realm. To accept the things of God.
Right.
So the problem with this whole thing is faith. I've come to the conclusion, after all these years, that we just don't have enough faith about what God's already said.
Right.
Okay? We just don't have enough faith. Brother Bram said we don't have enough faith for a headache. That was 1960-something. We should be to the place. Not that everything is... Listen, you know, everybody's got something today. There's a list of something that's wrong with them, right?
Right.
So that doesn't mean that you're lost. That just means we're living in the human body.
Right.
But we must overcome that and what? Go on to perfection. Being trained more and more. Being trained by the Word of God through good teachers, as Brother Luis was talking about Wednesday night.
Yes.
It has to be done... Even the order of Melchizedek was Melchizedek brought a message to Abraham. Okay? He brought that message to Abraham. Now, what did Abraham do? Brother Branham said, the reason God did these things for Abraham, I'm going to paraphrase the quote, is that he knew that Abraham would tell his next generation, and Abraham's generation would tell the next generation.
Right.
And all the way down, he would tell him what? Tell him about what? Tell them about the good news, the gospel, what happened to him. My, if I'm sitting there 99 years old and dead as a hammer and all of a sudden the next morning I wake up and I'm 20 years old again and I look over and there's Sarah 20 years old again, he was happy about something.
Right. That's right.
So he told his next generation how that God had changed his body, that God had brought him back. I mean, it's kind of obvious that Abraham had Isaac with Sarah, right? After they got changed. But remember, several years later, he married Keturah and had seven more kids. Well, obviously, Isaiah was way older than them youngins were. So Abraham could say, look, when I got changed, this is what happened. And then Mama died. And then I had this other group of people I could tell my story to. Okay?
Yeah.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
So now we were looking. Now look back. You got to go back. Remember the paragraph or the chapter doesn't end here. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Keep reading. Therefore, leaving the principles, what does that principles mean? Elementary discussion of. Okay, it's all right to talk about one God and water baptism and all these things, but let's go on. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto what? Completion or maturity.
Yes.
Let us go on unto maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You see that? That's what I've been trying to tell y'all. I don't have to have faith. That's what I was telling that man yesterday. I don't, because a lot of times, especially in denominations, they said, well, I hope. We have this hope. I have hope. I said, Gene, I don't have hope anymore. I said, I have an assurity. I know. If I'm born again, I know. Well, see, he couldn't understand that too much. That was a little too close for him, you know. But I said, look, I said, I don't have to have faith. I had to have faith when I got in the car because I didn't know if the car was going to make it to your house. I was only 5 miles from him. He's a beekeeper friend of mine. And I went over to get something from him. I said, Gene, I don't need faith to come visit you. Mm-hmm. That faith is behind me. That faith is in the journey. When I'm standing here in front of you, I don't have to have faith.
Yeah.
You kind of look. I said, I don't even have to have a hope. I hope I'm going to see you. I'm looking at you.
Yeah, right.
So that's the same thing with here. We can have a hope, but I think what the prophet of God brought us was not a hope. He took all that denominational worry about, like I said before, and I'm going to say it again, about they got to go through the tribulation. That's, I mean, you go to any denominational church, ask them, do I have to go through tribulation? They will say, yes, you have to go. We are not, no imperfect, no not one. I ain't got nothing, you. I ain't perfect, and you ain't perfect. You know, that's the way they say it. I said, well, I understand what God said about me. That's what I was telling Gene yesterday. I said, look, if I'm a child of God, how can I be judged?
Yeah.
I'm judged by Christ, and if He's perfect, then I'm perfect. And he kind of looked, you know, I mean, Gene's a pretty, he's in his 70s, and he's a real good nominal Christian. But he still has problems with some of their doctrines, and you talk to some of them, and we never got into the tribulation part of it, but they're saying you got to go through the tribulation to be purified. When we as bride know that we're purified here,
right,
and we don't have to go there, right? And that's one of the major doctrines of them versus what we have. And I don't mean them, I mean the doctrine. And it's what they've been taught. It's what they've been taught. If somebody came up with that, God didn't. Some man came up with that doctrine. Well, we got to go through the tribulation because we're not perfect, you know. Well, I don't see that. But see, look, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, you shouldn't have to have faith that you're saved. If you're born again, rest in that. Put that away. But if you're not, you better worry about it. But if you're born again, just don't even worry about that. Put that to the side. You know what? Worry about going up. Worry about exercising what you've already got. Right? Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands. We've been through all this. Right? I don't have to go get rebaptized. Okay? Unless you got a problem. Now, if you don't have a problem, why do you have to go back and visit being rebaptized? Now, the babies in Christ, yes, they need to be baptized. But once you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe to the new birth, you should not have to go back and have to do it again.
Right.
That's what he's saying here, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands. I'm sorry. Paul tells us to leave that.
Right. Yeah.
Paul says leave laying on of hands.
Yeah.
All right, we've been through that. You can believe that if you want to, but it's just... it's right there in the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, then you're a non-believer. Because look, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. We must put all that away.
Yes.
And this will we do if God permit. Alright? But now weak people, I'm sorry, weak people have to have hands laid on them. Just the way it is, sorry. I told you what Brother Ram said about it. Right? The Jewish tradition. It wasn't a Gentile tradition. It was a Jewish tradition brought in by the weakness of people.
Right.
For it is impossible. I like that word. Paul says it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, that doesn't mean you get the Holy Ghost. And if you were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away to renew again unto repentance. In other words, if you were partakers of the Holy Ghost, if you have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to do this. If they shall fall away. We see these people now that's, you know, preach like a house on fire on a windy day. And I sat one time and listened to a brother preach, and he did the best job I ever heard about the millennium and different things. He was sleeping with a 14-year-old girl while he was preaching that sermon. So, yeah. But, and that's a fact, not a hope so. That's a fact. But, so remember, if you shall fall away, what he was doing, he was preaching off of just pure intellect. It's like Brother Brown said, it's really simple to read the Bible and say you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, just the ability to read. But if he had the Holy Ghost inside, he wouldn't be doing that. All right, a big difference in all that. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. See, if you were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to fall away. You might backslide. You might do some things wrong. But you're not going to go like that and go back that way. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. In other words, man, how shameful would that be? For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorn and briars is rejected, and nigh the cursing whose end is to be burned. But now remember, they receive the same rain. They receive the same nutrition.
Yes.
The cuckabirds and the good grass, you go look out in your yard today and you're going to see henbit, nettles, you're going to see thorns, you're going to see... And you know what? They're going, oh, this rain is great. Because we're growing right up with your great little grass. We're growing right up with it. But remember, they will show their character by what they grow, by what comes up. All right. Only in us can you take a cucumber and make a wheat plant out of. All right. But when a cucumber seeds in the ground, it's just going to make cucumbers. It ain't going to come up one day and all of a sudden you're going to go, oh, I love this... this cucumber grass, you know. No, it's always going to be cucumber. All right? But remember, when it starts up about this high, it all looks about the same. Green, sprouts, roots. But when it starts bearing its fruit, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh the cursing whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. All right. In other words, we confident of. So Paul has a group of people that he's confident with. That there is a group of people. That's what I've been telling you. I'm confident there's a group of people going to take a body change. Here today. Here somewhere on this earth. Maybe not in this building. I'm just saying somewhere there's got to be somebody who's going to believe what's already been said.
Yes.
But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So in other words, see, this all accompanies salvation.
Yes.
The statue of a perfect man, it accompanies your salvation.
Yes.
All right? Because then you exercise these gifts and you become to where you can handle things of God.
Right.
Power without character, remember. Power without character is satanic because you'll use it wrong because you're born with that sticky nature attached to you somewhat of this world and you'll use it wrong. That's why Christ had to overcome the garden. I mean, after the garden, he was beat, stripped naked, beat, put a crown of thorns, and he never uttered a word. Hardly, you know. Thou say, you know. Or you say, in other words. And then here he was, the man that raised Lazarus from the tomb and stopped the wind and raised Jairus' daughter and all these powerful things. Well, he was stripped of all that. Yet he did not... You know the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. Well, he could have. He was God. God didn't leave him. The anointing left him. God didn't leave him. He was still God.
Yes.
All right? But he yielded himself to what? His job. His job was go to the cross.
Yes.
Okay? And that's our job. Our job is to go to the cross, but not to hang him up again, like I said back up here. You can't keep putting him on the cross. And the problem with most people is they can't get him off the cross and get him inside of you. I love what that man said. He was a denominational man. He done a good job, but he said, we have a historical God. We don't want a historical God. We want a now God. You know, somebody now. Well, maybe they're catching on a little bit.
Right.
Well, I know I'm saved because Christ died on the cross. Now, I don't mean nothing. I'm just looking at you're just looking at a scene.
Yeah.
But when that man comes inside of you, that's the difference. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Minister? You should have read that scripture. But you know, I was thinking what Luis was talking about Wednesday night. There are a lot of good gospel ministers in this message seeing their people leave.
Yeah.
Leave their congregation, right, to sit home and watch tape or listen to tape from Jeffersonville. I'm going to say it now.
Yeah.
That's the only place it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And here they are, they're good ministers, and now they're having to, you know, readjust or even get jobs because their congregation's dwindled to nothing. Well, you know what? It's not his fault.
Right.
It's those people's fault, and it's those people up north, those people up north's fault for dragging them away, because it's not right. It's wrong.
Right. Yes.
There's nothing right about it. Not one thing.
Right.
There's not one thing right about it, or you tear the Bible completely apart.
Exactly.
But it is hurting. And that's where you can feel the hurt on Wednesday night. You can feel the hurt knowing somebody standing there with a congregation of 50 or 75 people, and you're preaching away, and all of a sudden there's 20.
Yeah.
And you wonder where they went. Well, did they go to another church? No, they're sitting at home listening to... Yeah. The Bible talks about the King of the North. But listen, I'm telling you, that's the problem, though. It's wrong. What's wrong is wrong. You need to call it wrong. Yeah. It's wrong. And you know what it is? It's back to right over here.
All right.
Mature bride will never fall for that.
Right.
Never.
Amen.
I'm not saying that these people are not born again, but they're just babies. But now I'm telling you, with the Holy Ghost inside of you, how's it going to draw you away from what the Bible says?
Right.
Can't do it. That's what I mean. There's a lot of people in this message that are not born again that thought they were. Because of thinking that they did the hair and the dress and the do's and the don'ts and the
right.
Ten Commandments and all that, you know.
Right.
But people, and it may happen in this church, but I don't think it will. We've been established enough to know that Brother Dale's taught us to get born again, and getting born again sure helps a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
It's everything.
Amen.
Because Brother Branham said, remember, the Bible says it will deceive the very elect if it were possible. Brother Branham said you can't deceive the elect.
Right.
But frankly, if you'll, only time I think he ever used the word frankly, put frankly in your table. And he says at one time in the Church Age book, he says, but frankly, God will have to cut the work short because we get her confused. Well, that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
It's the confusion. Even though they say I'm right and I'm wrong, or whatever you want to say, there's a confusion there.
Right.
And we know who it is. God is not the author of confusion.
Right. Correct.
So we know it's the other guy.
Right.
Right? Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
But I mean, I'm settled. I don't have to... And what's going to happen if they start signs and wonders up somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
I still ain't going to believe it. Because they're not doing it right to start with. Their foundation is not right.
Right.
Go back to the foundation. All right? You know what? I'm not doing like somebody in the message called them Antichrist. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Yeah. At the moment, they look a little anti-word.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of anti-word. But you can come back. I mean, that's not a sin unto death unless you carry it on to the, you know.
Right.
So you understand what I'm saying? I'm praying that God will turn it, because what about a great thing if He turned it all back around to where it should be?
Amen.
What a great thing it would be.
Right.
I mean, it would be powerful to use the resources that they have for the right thing.
Yeah.
But people get trapped. They're babies. This seat feels good, sounds good. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'll bet you, I'm going to say that, I'll promise you, Paul had to deal with stuff like that.
Yeah.
I bet you they did think Paul was God at one time, of all the miracles and things that he'd done, but you don't read it in the Bible because it's not true. But there had to be some, because even Paul says, you know, he said, you've got some of Cephas and some of this, and he said, some of Paul and some of this one. He said, Apollos watered, Paul watered and Apollo whatever.
Yes.
But you understand, he named names about people that were in the congregation that were saying, well, Paul.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
Same way with Brother Branham. I would assume if you were around that man and he could tell you what you're going to do in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And how many fish you're going to catch the next day. And the day after, you remember that? I read that the other day where Brother Brown told that man he was trying to convert this guy, and his grandpa comes in and says, oh, I don't believe none of that. Well, Brother Brown said, okay, you tell your grandpa that we're going to catch one fish tomorrow. I'm going to catch six the next day, and the next day, they're not going to catch anything. We're not going to catch anything. And the, you know, the grandpa was like, you know, happened exactly. They said they fished. I mean the hardest they could fish. You can't outdo God.
Right.
Yeah. God. Brother Brown saw that in a vision. Well, then he said at the end, the grandpa just softened up and said, well, there must be something to this. So he converted him and brought him to the Lord. Some people need that.
Yeah.
That's right. It was Brother Woods and his granddaddy or Brother Woods and his daddy.
The whole family.
Right. Yeah. That's what it was. You're right. Took a fishing. And said, I'm going to catch one fish today, and it's going to be the biggest one of the whole trip, but I'm going to catch six tomorrow, and we're not going to catch anything the next day. Well, now that's 3 days out, and I mean, you're going, no, I put the biggest worm and put the biggest lure. I'll guarantee you they tried to prove him wrong.
Right.
I would have too. I would have too. You know, but you know what? You can't do it. God had a purpose in that.
That's right.
Brother Brown wasn't showing off.
Right.
He was showing those people that what he was preaching was the truth. That's the bait on the hook that didn't catch them fish. The problem is they didn't see the allegory to that. There was no fish caught the last day, but there were some eternal fish that were caught that day. That whole Wood family was caught that day by the prophet. And same thing with you and I. We don't have to be prophets, but things in our life we can show people, and we can be examples of Christianity that'll bring somebody in, and you don't even know that you're doing it. You know?
Right.
For God is not righteous to forget your work and labor, that's what we're talking about here, of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope of them. Go preach. Go spread the gospel. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful. Like I say on Wednesday night, you know, I chimed in. I'm sorry. I said, lazy. People are lazy to not get a... What are you going to overcome if you sit at home with coffee and your slippers on and watch or listen to a sermon or even watch this church?
Right.
When the doors are open and you're healthy to get here. Like I said the other night about Brother Colley, he's in his late 70s, and that joker, they many services he's missed in the years. I'm talking about, you couldn't put him on that calendar how many he has missed in 50 years of coming here, since 1974, I guess. And you know what he told me the other day? He said, it's getting hard. But you know what? He never said, I'm quitting. He said, I'm coming. Look, Sister Trudy, the same way. She traveled all in 4 hours. Both ways to come to church all those years.
Yes.
Okay? There's a reward for that. Yes, ma'am. There's a reward for that.
Yeah.
That you be not slothful, which that would be, lazy or sluggish, sluggards, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. What? Followers of them that preach the gospel. Because that's where you're going to get your food from. You're going to get it from Mama Eagle that chews the food up for you and gives it to you.
Right?
Because remember, we're eagles. Eagles don't ever have milk. They always eat, they start off eating meat. For when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no great, he swore by himself. What? He made his own oath. He swore by himself.
Yes.
See, we're not to swear to God, but God can swear by himself because there's nobody else to swear by, and he swears by his own self. Because you know what? If he swears a swear, it's not just, you know, you say, I swear I'm going to go to Danny Mountain tomorrow. I swear I'm going to. You do that one time. Your car break down, a bridge will fall down between me and Danny. But now, God don't do that. When he swears, it's already done. When he swears by himself. There's no greater He swears by himself.
Right.
Saying, now what did he swear? Surely, blessed, surely, we'll stop right here. We'll stop on 15. I want to get to that one because that's in Matthew. Surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Now, not physically, spiritually. We are now under the spiritual multiplication of the spoken word. Right? And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Who? Abraham.
That's right.
So, the Bible says in Matthew 24, right at the end of the fifth seal, we read it the other day, a long time ago now, that those who endure to the end, that's the only way you're going to know that you got the goods, is you endure to the end. Because if you don't, you're going to fall off, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. All right? For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them the end. Well, we'll stop there. Stop at 15. All right, let's go. Now, next Sunday. Who's got next Sunday? Brian, you got next Sunday.
Did you put it up though?
Didn't I thought I did, didn't I? Well, this is the new calendar. Brian, you got next Sunday. You'll be here, right? You gonna be here the next Sunday? Well, I'll be at Brother Duck Scott's. Or is it your turn or your turn?